And number three, waiting on God is worth it. It's worth it. I've never met one person to this day who ran the race hard and they ran it well and they ran to the end for the glory of God who got to the end and goes, that was a waste of time. I have sat at the bedside of other people who got to the end. And it wasn't, hey, I wish I would have worked more at the office. I wish I would have lived in that gated community. I wish I would have drove this car. I don't hear any of that. I just hear regret. Oh, child, today, dear one, today, waiting on God is gonna be worth it. Gonna be a glorious day when we cross the tape. Man, we cross that tape. I don't wanna cruise across the finish line. I wanna break the tape. I hope my armor is all dinged up for the glory of God, amen? Fiery darts sticking out of every piece of the armor. Here it is, Jesus. Man, we ran hard. It wasn't perfect. It was probably pretty pitiful at some stages of the game. But man, we ran hard. We ran hard for your glory, for the fame of your name, to make much of you, to advance the gospel. Oh, we ran hard. Don't you want to hear? I want to hear it so desperately. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? Amen. It's going to be worth it. Don't lose heart. Jesus has got this.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch of This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. As we conclude this two-part message series, I'm really excited about unpacking in more detail the final conclusion to this message. You know, these two verses here in Psalm 27 just radically grip my heart like never before, as the psalmist just simply proclaims, I would have lost heart in the land of the living if I did not believe in the goodness of the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord, and He will strengthen your heart. And so I invite you right now to join me and take your Bible and turn to Psalm 27, looking at verses 13 through 14, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, The Joy of Waiting on the Lord.
And watch God begin to work in your life like you've never seen. So many times God does His best work while we're in our valleys. And that's why the dark nights of the soul that we all go through at one point or another are way too heavy and too cumbersome to plow through in our own strength. The constant roller coaster of the ups and downs of life are too much for anyone to handle on their own. We are designed, don't miss this, church family, we are designed for moment by moment by moment by moment dependence on God and nothing and no one else. Moment by moment, nanosecond by nanosecond, just depending on God, depending on God. God, I can't get through another nanosecond unless you carry me. God says, oh, thank you, my child. That's what I love to do for my children. I love to carry them through the storms of life. But understand, the Lord is not simply good, as I mentioned before, just because He goes our way. The Lord is good because He's the only way. Look at verse 14, our concluding verse. The psalmist says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Do you see this? I don't know if you picked up on this. But here, David, literally, when you read that verse, he is exhorting for a bold response. I mean, when you read this, and you see it in the context of what's being written here, he is exhorting the reader for a bold response. Now, I alluded to this earlier, but waiting is not one of my spiritual gifts. Maybe it is for you. Maybe you took the spiritual gifts test this morning and waiting is number one on your list. How many people like to wait? Raise your hand. Anyone like to wait? I was going to say, if one person raised their hand this morning, I was going to begin to sing, "Liar, liar, pants on fire." Amen? Amen. We're in the church house. There's no lying. We don't allow that here in the church house. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we just don't like it. It's part of our depraved nature. We don't have the capacity from a fleshly standpoint to do this. That's why we know that patience is a fruit of what? The Spirit, right? That's part of being a child of the King. You will have fruit that gives evidence of your salvation. And patience is one of them. Now, it doesn't mean this, that they're always perfect in all of those different items there in Galatians 5. You go out on Dale Mabry at 5 o'clock. Woo! My goodness, you're about to lose your salvation. Amen? But the reality is that patience is working. God's working to refine us, to prune us, to make us, Romans 8:29, more like His Son Jesus. That's the point. That's the point. The point is not that you would accomplish the American dream. That's not the point. The point is that you would come to this loving relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord. You'd begin the sanctification process of ongoing change, becoming more like Jesus. And here's what you're going to do with all that. You're going to go make disciples of Jesus that make disciples of Jesus. That is the point. And yet, that's hard when we're here in America, right? Because we have so many distractions. And yet Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Nothing else will satisfy." There in verse 14 there, look again, there's two intentional commands, not suggestions. And one is repeated twice. Don't make a mistake of looking over that. The first in verse 14 is wait on the Lord. That's the first of the two intentional commands. The psalmist is writing by the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, this is not a suggestion. He's saying, wait on the Lord. If you were in a situation today, you might need to wait. Maybe God has given you the green light. And if He's given you the green light, then you go. But perhaps He says, simply wait. Wait. Like, what does that even mean? Here's what it means in the Hebrew. Don't miss this. To pause with great expectation. To look with hope for hope. Let me say this again. Give you a minute to marinate. What does this mean, waiting? It means to pause with great expectation, to look with hope for hope. When I say the word hope, if you today are a true child of Jesus Christ, and I pray that everyone is. If you're not, I pray today will be the day of salvation in your life, where the scales and the blinders will get ripped off your heart, mind, and soul, and you will come to know this Jesus who is called the Christ. But assuming that everyone in the church house today knows Christ and He knows them and you've given your life to Him, when I use the word hope, please let me make a clarification here. I am not crossing my fingers hoping this is going to work out. You know, I could say this analogy. I hope when I get home today that there's a plate of chocolate chip cookies. Amen? And all God's people said, amen, right? Amen to that. Now, we can hope for those things. No, I'm not hoping and wishing that somehow Jesus is going to save me. I know this, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, my life is no longer my own. I've been radically rescued from the grip of Satan to the power of God. I was taken from the power of darkness to the power of light. I am a child of King Jesus. I am not hoping that's going to work out. I know with the uttermost confidence that my God has radically rescued my soul through His Son, Jesus Christ. So what does He mean, hope? He's waiting, pausing with expectation, confidence. It's a hope that knows. It's a hope that believes. It's a hope that's grounded in the Word. It's a hope that's grounded in dependent prayer upon our great God. It's a hope that says that we know with great boldness, with great confidence, that when our God promises in His Word, whatever He does promise in His Word will come to pass. That's great news, isn't it? Boy, that just takes the pressure off, doesn't it? I was thinking of John 16:33. I think of that verse often, but it just simply says this: in this world you will have trouble. And Jesus was very truthful in that statement, wasn't he? In this world you're going to have trouble. But aren't you glad he didn't put a period at the end of that verse? In this world you're going to have trouble. Hope it works out for you. No, he says it right here so beautifully. In this world, you're going to have trouble. And then he says, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I, Jesus, have overcome the world. When you understand that Jesus has truly overcome the world, when you are in the pit of waiting on Him, you can have the same joy that was set before Him as He endured the cross, despising the shame, as He was waiting. You can have the same joyful expectation. Wait, wait. Isaiah 26:8, one of my favorites. Isaiah 26:8. O Lord, we have waited for You. The desire of our soul is for Your name and for the remembrance of You. Did you catch that from Isaiah? Oh, Lord, we've waited for You. Great expectation, great hope. Oh, we know our Redeemer lives as Isaiah was looking towards the cross. As he was looking there expectantly, he could see it, he could taste it. Matter of fact, you look at Isaiah, and when he says this, that I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. We could see it, couldn't he? Do you see it in your life today? Are you operating by fear? Or are you operating by faith? The psalmist says, wait on the Lord, command number one. Command number two, be of good courage. This is a very interesting phrase, good courage. It simply means this: to keep hold of, to be resolute. Here the psalmist is saying, look, I want you to be of good courage. I want you to take hold of this promise. I want you to take hold of the truths of who God is. I want you to be resolute. Don't bend, don't buckle, don't break. I want you to fix your eyes on the One and His goodness. Even if He goes your way, praise God. But if He doesn't go your way, still praise God. As you're of good courage. Good courage. Do you see the connection between being of good courage and waiting on the Lord? Do you see this? Don't miss this. There's a connection. When you are waiting on the Lord, you have to be of good courage. Otherwise, you won't wait. There was this thing they did years ago. I think they called it the marshmallow test. Maybe you've seen this. And they would take a marshmallow, and they would take a child, a young child, and they had the camera hidden, and they sat the child down at a table, and they put the marshmallow on the plate, and they said, don't eat it. Don't eat it. And they left the room. Boy, as the camera rolls, it's absolutely hysterical. I mean, some of these kids, they are about to chew off their toenails. They are so tempted to partake of the marshmallow. One girl, and I'm not making this up, she actually hollows out the marshmallow. She hollows it out, takes what's inside the marshmallow, sets the shell back on the plate. Well, I don't know if I'd hire her to be your banker, amen? Boy, that might be kind of weird. You're not sure where those bank statements are going, you know what I mean? Boy, it's amazing what we do from even a young age to a middle age to an old age when it comes to waiting. Because if we just wait, as those children were learning, that for the ones that did wait, they were rewarded with another marshmallow. Well, it's kind of like us as adults, isn't it? So many times God's saying, look, just wait. But God, I want the marshmallow. Just wait. Wait on me. And in His time, His providence, He gives a double portion so often. Wait on the Lord. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of what? Good courage. There it is again. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You remember the account of Joshua. He's following Michael Jordan, Moses, isn't he? Got big shoes to fill. Moses stepped out of the will of God, couldn't go into the promised land. Here comes Joshua. He gets raised up. Right there in chapter 1. I'm giving you this land, the Lord says. I'm giving it to you. I'm going to take you to the greatest, and you're going to go against the greatest. The Perizzites and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Termites, everyone else, they're going against the kids of Israel. And yet when God is on your side, it doesn't matter who the foe is. When God is leading, God's going to conquer. And He pours into Joshua and says, have I not commanded you? Not a suggestion. Not, hey, if you get around to it. No, I'm commanding you, be strong and of good courage.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
As we wait on the Lord, and as we are of good courage, I'm learning that the byproduct of this twofold obedience is simply this, and He shall strengthen your heart. Think about this. As we wait on the Lord, as we are of good courage, there is going to be a byproduct, a producing of this waiting, of this being of good courage. And right here in God's Word, it shows us our heart's going to be strengthened. You can't build the muscle unless the muscle is severely tested with heavier weight. God is allowing some of you today in the church house to be bearing great weight. But He's the one that's carrying you through the fire. He's the one that's carrying you through the difficulty. He is the one that's sustaining you and me as we go through these trials of life. And as we go through these trials, the byproduct of not hitting the done button, not quitting, not losing heart, the byproduct is simply this, as we stay steadfast, as we're immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, here it is, we're going to know confidently the labor for Him is never in vain. That's just a hallelujah moment that I pray will encourage you and me today. He will strengthen you. He will make firm. He will make bold. He will increase in strength. He will strengthen that heart through prayer with the Father. We wait with hope, with great expectation that the relief from the pain will follow. As you wait on Him, as you're of good courage, push into Him, press into Him with great hope and expectation and confidence as you pause before Him, that the relief from the pain you're in today will come to pass. Matter of fact, we know this from His Word. It says this in God's Word, and I'm going to hold Him to it. In 1 Peter 5:10, it simply says this, that after you have suffered a little while, after you have suffered, that shows me that there's a conclusion on the horizon. After you have suffered a little while, here's what God's going to do. He's going to perfect. He's going to establish. He's going to strengthen. He's going to settle you. And nothing in this life will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The only thing that will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you is God and His grace and His mercy and His love towards you. That's simply it. That's why I love Jeremiah 17, verse 7 through 8. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope, there it is in the Lord. Now here's the byproduct, the producing of the man who trusts in the Lord, who's confidently waiting on the Lord. Here it is, verse 8 of Jeremiah 17. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear. Did you see that? Will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding the fruit. See, this is where we come off the rails so many times, don't we? We come off the rails. We're looking for something, anything, to self-medicate, to dull the pain, to fill the void. Jesus is the only answer. That's all there is. That's all you need. He's the answer to yesterday, today, and forevermore. His name is Jesus. I've heard people say this, and I think they have good intentions, but they'll say something like this, well, you know, we know there's a better answer, and His name is Jesus. Excuse me? There's a better answer? Like there's several options out there? No, there is the best answer. Best. Ultimate. Definite. Singular. There's only one answer to your life, and His name is Jesus. So, preacher, where do I go with all this? I want to conclude with this thought. Wait on the Lord is repeated twice. For you Hebrew scholars in the room, you know that often in the Hebrew there's repetition. So that's a valid argument. I agree with that, but I'm going to go a step further. When you look at the Gospels, when Jesus said, if you really want to come after me, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. The hardest thing we will ever do is deny me. And I believe that's why Jesus put that one number one. I believe that not only is Hebrew repeating itself here, but I believe it goes even deeper. Because I think one of the hardest acts we do in the flesh is to simply wait on the Lord. And I believe a point is being driven home here, and this is my argument for this. Because the first part of the verse says this, wait on the Lord. But the second intentional commandment of the waiting, not the second commandment of wait on the goodness of the Lord, but I'm talking about waiting on the Lord, just simply waiting on Him, just not waiting on the goodness and the good courage, but waiting on Him. Here's what the psalmist says the second time. He says, wait, I say on the Lord. Do you see this? There must be something important here. Think about this. In God's sovereignty, He knows that one of the most difficult things we do is to wait. And yet I believe we also see here the psalmist imploring with great confidence and expectation as David adds the personalized emphasis when he says, wait, I say. Some people go, well, give me another example besides just the psalmist. Think about Jesus. He's born to die. He's born to go into a grave. And He's born to conquer the grave. And yet in this hypostatic union, fully man, yet without sin, and yet fully divine, in the midst of this, with human emotion, again, no sin, there's a waiting that's going on for years, a waiting. awaiting that he has to wait to be executed. There's a waiting that the Father just heaps my sin on the Son. And the Son absorbs my sin. He's waiting. And he gets through the brutal beating of the post and the blood and the torment and the ridicule and all that he deals with there. And we're not even talking about yet what was before that in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he goes a little farther. He goes a little deeper. And he cries out to the Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. Yet nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. The disciples are asleep, Peter, James, and John. He says, rise, let us be going, my betrayer's at hand. He stares the enemy in the face. He knows that he's for such a time as this to redeem the time, to press on towards the cross, no matter what entails and whatever follows in that. He knows he's going. And in the midst of all of this, he's missile-locked on the mission. Here's what you see. You see this glorious unfolding of this waiting that's been going on for this long period of time, and yet he knows the joy that was set before him. He's going to be at the right hand of the Father through the obedience to the Father. And as he sees this playing out, he goes to the cross. And before he bows his head and he gives up his spirit, no one takes it from him. He gives it up. He says, tetelestai in the Greek. He says, it is finished. You notice he didn't say, I am finished. Jesus didn't say, I am finished. He says, it is finished. He says, mission accomplished. I have shed my blood. I'm going to a grave. I'm going to see you on Sunday. And yet the enemy and all his foolish demonic pleasure thought he had won. Do you see, church family, the waiting? That's why, lastly, I want to give you key number two, and you're going to want to write this down because you're going to need this week. Key number two, here it is. Waiting on the Lord involves three things. Waiting on the Lord involves three things. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but these are three things that will happen as you wait on the Lord. Number one, it is going to be work to the flesh. Just put work to the flesh. Waiting on God is not passive. Like if you're really waiting on God today for an answer in your life, as you trust Him, that takes work. This is not passive. So many times I hear this in my travels. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The word believe there is a definite connotation of non-passivity. This is not some intellectual, intellectual, no, you believe. No, this is a believe that is so non-passive that it rocks your world to the core. That you are no longer the same person again. This isn't raise a hand, say a prayer, do a cartwheel, get wet, and somehow I got fire insurance. That's not how this works. This is a belief that says, I see myself who I really am. And I'm on my way on the highway to hell. And I got to repent. That means just not behavior modification. That means that my life is going to get radically torn apart. That God's going to go in there and not give me just a bypass surgery. He's going to give me a heart transplant. And I'm going to give my life back to Him. As we sang today, that our life is no longer our own. And now you use it, God, for your praise and your glory. It's work. If you're waiting on God, it's work. Number two, it's worship. Write it down. It's worship. Some of the greatest worship in your life and my life today is while we're waiting on God's. Man, you'll begin to learn to praise Him in your storm. Boy, you're waiting for the answer, waiting for him to do this. And, oh, Lord, I'm just waiting on you. What you begin to realize is your arms begin to go up in the air, don't they? Because, man, you're in desperation. Man, you're just clanging. You are just praying. You're with great tenacity. Waiting on God is work. Waiting on God is worship. Some of the sweetest, profound worship in your life you're going to look back on. Someone might come up to you in Publix and say, hey, sorry, I didn't mean to run to you with my cart, but I just was kind of curious. Can you give me an example of great worship in your life? And you can look at them and go, oh, let me tell you, brother, let me tell you, sister, some of the sweetest, most intimate worship with me and my God was when he had me in the valley. Boy, that's going to preach 1,000 sermons right there. And number 3, waiting on God is worth it. It's worth it. I've never met one person to this day who ran the race hard and they ran it well and they ran it to the end for the glory of God, who got to the end and goes, that was a waste of time. I have sat at the bedside of other people who got to the end. And it wasn't, hey, I wish I would have worked more at the office. I wish I would have lived in that gated community. I wish I would have drove this car. I don't hear any of that. I just hear regret. Oh, child, today, dear one, today, waiting on God is going to be worth it. Going to be a glorious day when we cross the tape. Man, we cross that tape. I don't want to cruise across the finish line. I want to break the tape. I hope my armor is all dinged up for the glory of God. Amen? Fiery darts sticking out of every piece of the armor. Here it is, Jesus. Man, we ran hard. It wasn't perfect. It was probably pretty pitiful at some stages of the game. But man, we ran hard. We ran hard for your glory, for the fame of your name, to make much of you, to advance the gospel. Oh, we ran hard. Don't you want to hear? I want to hear it so desperately. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to be worth it. Don't lose heart. Jesus has got this. I would have lost heart in the land of the living if I did not believe in the goodness of the Lord. Church family today, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord, and He will strengthen your heart. Amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.